Welcome to another episode of Andres Off the Record. And this one is a more along the lines of cinema and television. So it's an edition of the Critic Corner. Now, over 30 years ago, there was a graphic novel that took the industry by storm. Graphic novel is a fancier form of saying comic book. And the comic book or graphic novel was so impacting, so transformative, that it changed the paradigm and the tone of novels ever since. And the novel that I'm talking about was adapted into a movie that had mixed results just over 10 years ago. And now HBO is attempting to adapt a sequel that is meeting very negative feedback from the fans. And to all this, I'm saying it's been called unadaptable for the television or the cinema. And of course, I'm talking about the groundbreaking work that was written by Alan Moore and illustrated by Dave Gibbons in what is called Watchmen.
And all the whores and politicians will look up and shout, "Save us." And I'll whisper, "No."
Why Watchmen and why now? Well, it just so happens that HBO adapted a indirect sequel to the novel and turned it into a first season of a show because they're trying to fill in the void that's being left by Game of Thrones, and because Westworld's like every 2 years instead of subsequent years. Well, when I first heard that Watchmen was being adapted by HBO, I told my sister, who's also a fan of the book, I'm like, wow, that isn't that the most fitting thing you've ever heard? Because I don't think it would have worked on Netflix, but being on HBO, I totally believed that Watchmen would have worked. But then as more details emerged as to what HBO was intending to do that with showrunner David Lindelof, who said he wanted to respect the source material, he said he can't adapt the novel. It's already been adapted by a film and it's mixed reviews, So he says he's going to do he's a direct sequel to the novel, not the film that this show is based out of. Like, oh, okay. I mean, cool, I guess. We get to explore more of the world that the Watchmen inhabit. But then this sequel takes place 20 or 30 years later after the events of the novel and the fallout that happened at the end of the novel. And then when the first teaser trailer dropped, I'm like, wow, the aesthetic looks like Watchmen, so they got the look right. But then there was just some scenes that stood out to me. I'm like, why do I have a bad feeling about this? It looks like they're trying to show a cult following to one of the beloved characters from the novel, and that they look and behave like white supremacist groups. And sure enough, that's exactly what the showrunners ran with. They're trying to show white Aryan nationals and white supremacist groups are the villains of this story, and they're wearing the mask of one of the heroes from the novels it's a fan favorite. So they're soiling the memory of the original characters. They're basically taking an approach like The Last Jedi did. So it's going woke. It went woke because the show's already out to mixed reviews and the fans absolutely hate it. So the mixed reviews are from the critics and the fans are just trashing it. And that's why Watchmen's back into the discussions. So this episode of the Off the Record is not about Watchmen the TV show. Rather, it's about Watchmen the movie. Because I recently did a retrospective look at the DCEU that was done by Zack Snyder, and Zack Snyder did direct Watchmen, and it's been just over 10 and a half years since Watchmen came out, and I gotta say, Zack Snyder was ahead of his time. That's basically the point of this episode, that I want to discuss. First off, Watchmen and why I recommend it, and then secondly, also talk a little bit about what I still don't like about the movie, but it's still worthwhile. The thing about Watchmen, it was the first R-rated mainstream movie that came out. There was an R-rated superhero movie before that, Blade, but that was more of a cult favorite because it was seen as a horror movie. Watchmen was more of like, whoa, is this part of the Batman universe? Because everybody asked if Night Owl was Batman. It's like, no, that's not Batman. So this is an alternate Batman? No, not an alternate Batman either. But it's this universe that was created, and it looked pretty legit, and it generated a lot of attention from mainstream fans of comic books, and comic book movies, I should say, that it drew that kind of attention. But it wouldn't be until about 7 years later that R-rated movies would actually be something that studios would seem to try to capitalize on with the introduction of Deadpool. Deadpool changed everything after that for comic books, because then we got Logan and Deadpool 2 and other adaptations for comic and from comic books that are not shying away from being R-rated, because they can, their audience grew up with them supposedly. That's why they said we can do an R-rated Logan movie, and it worked. So that's good, but Watchmen was definitely on the up and up, because it was on the heels of The Dark Knight, so they thought we could do a dark, Warner Bros. Thought they could adapt a dark story, but it was a very bloody, violent, gory film, to which everybody shied away from. And depending on your exposure to Watchmen, even if you didn't watch the novel, the problem is, kind of like when trying to watch Blade Runner, which version do you watch? That's kind of the same thing with Watchmen, because Zack Snyder has this thing where he has a vision, but his vision doesn't fit a theatrical release. So there's a theatrical release version, and then there's a director's cut. That happened with Batman v Superman. I prefer the director's cut over the theatrical version. And with Watchmen, it's no different, except that it's a little more confusing. There's three versions to that one. There's a theatrical cut, which is about 2 hours and 40 minutes. There is the director's cut, which is 3 hours and 6 minutes. And then there's the ultimate cut, which interweaves an animated story called Tales of the Black Freighter into the film, just like it is on the novel that it's trying to mimic. And it stretches its runtime to like 3 hours and 40 minutes plus, whatever it is. I prefer the ultimate cut. But you could still watch a director's cut and draw away with the same conclusions, because some people do find it confusing. That, okay, so what was the point of the animated section? They can't correlate that. They even have issues with the novel source material, because the novel source material does the same thing. There's a comic within the comic, and people get confused about that, and it's still debated to this day. So I recommend Watchmen. It's definitely aged a lot better, and in this age of our political climate and tensions, where it seems like the powers that be are at each other's throats, United States, Russia, and this, and now we have the new player, China, it looks like we're in those same tensions again. But look, honestly, those pieces have never stopped moving. They're just more prominent now. And with all this rising tension, it's like, well, will we get involved in these conflicts, another worldwide thing? How are we doing this? Is it money? Is it supplying armaments to resistance groups or other factions that go up against the government, or the opposite? We support the government and go against the guerrillas. You know, there's a lot of this stuff that's still happening, never stop happening, just that we declared the end of a Cold War, but we are in a Cold War number two. And that is the backdrop to Watchmen. That's what made Watchmen unique. The Watchmen story takes place in an alternate reality of the United States that in 1985, where the backdrop is that the United States won the Vietnam War. Superheroes do exist. Oh, not in the sense like, oh, they're superheroes that are flying and all this and that. With the exception of Dr. Manhattan, there are masked vigilantes that are part of our culture. They're not super in the sense that they have super strength. The only one being the accidental creation that is Dr. Manhattan. And third, in the world of the novel, Richard Nixon is still president in 1985. So he never resigned. He was actually reelected and serving a fourth term. And there's a lot of animosity towards mass vigilantes, because of police supporters are saying that the police should be doing the job, because they're the ones that uphold the oath of law to do so. Mass vigilantes are just taking the law into their own hands. This is something that was unheard of back in the day. This shaped up everything afterwards. It was groundbreaking when this novel came out. It's the only graphic novel that is on the Time Magazine's top 100 novels of all time. It's not just a comic book, something transcendent. There's just the way it was written and drawn and structured. It's just this a wonder to behold. There's actual instructions on how to read the novel the first time and then rereading the second time so you can capture everything you had missed. And I've done it, and it's just a great way to digest the novel. It's like, wow, and there's just so much detail in this that it's just fun to look at it again. So the movie itself, the source material is considered unadaptable for TV or movies. Now, I do believe that it's better served as a TV miniseries, but it was, by Hollywood standards, it was trying to be done as a movie. So it was considered unadaptable. And Zack Snyder, to his credit, did what he could with what he had. But there were some elements of the book that had to be sacrificed. But the most controversial part wasn't some of the plot threads that had to be eliminated. More so, and worst off, was the changing of the ending. Now, the means to the end seemed to be the same for the villain, but the ending being changed and taking the one thing and replacing it with something else does change the effect it's supposed to have on the viewer and in the universe this is happening in. And I will dive into that in a moment, but I just want to speak to the positives about the movie. That when the movie came out, it came out to mixed reviews from the critics, because they say the problem with the film was that it stayed too true to the novel, because it was literally the panels come to life. When you spoke to the fans, what they loved about the movie was that the movie stayed true to the novel because there was the panels come to life. So it's like, who are we talking to here? The problem more so came in the style in which Zack Snyder was trying to do it. He was overstretching because he had some questionable musical selection that he did. And when you have a rabid fan audience watching and then groaning whenever these songs came out, like, oh my goodness, yes, it was cringeworthy. I was one of those that was groaning too. It's like, dude, you were trying to be a Quentin Tarantino and you failed miserably at it. Just the music just wasn't jiving with it. So that's one of the knocks on it. The other knock on it was this, that the characters don't have powers with the exception of the blue guy, Dr. Manhattan. So why do they seem to have beyond super abilities or beyond normal abilities that other humans? They do have some kind of super abilities, like to be able to jump a little higher or punch a little harder, and that was like, it drew away from the realism that the world was establishing. And then of course the third knock on the film was Zack Snyder's signature trend of using playing with speeds, but mostly doing slow motion. In a novel like this, there's hardly any action, so for an audience that was going into this to capture their attention, you need to keep not just the tension up, but also the action. And because these action set pieces were nothing extraordinary by any means of the imagination, they had to be extended by basically extending the fight scene. And because the fight scene, if you watch it in real time, would be over about 30 seconds, it's like, oh, slow motion would be better. So slow motion expands to like 2 minutes or whatever it is. So those are the main three caveats with it, not kind of the ending, which I'll explain. But on its own, I do believe it's something that's worth experiencing for anybody that's curious. After 10 years since the movie came out, it's aged considerably better. And that's made me rethink about Zack Snyder's approach, with the exception of the movies 300 and Dawn of the Dead. Those two don't really count. Zack Snyder's controversial movies that have been Watchmen, Man of Steel, Batman vs. Superman, he was aiming for something. And time is proving him right, which is why there's such an outcry to see the Zack Snyder cut of his Justice League. And just recently, Jason Momoa, who plays Aquaman, was interviewed, and he dropped the bomb on his own. No one asked him. He said, I saw the Snyder cut, and I recommend, and I believe that the audience needs to see that. The public needs to see this. So he's already seen it. It's basically a finished product. And Warner Brothers said that we will never see it. But the outcry continues, because Joss Whedon ruined Justice League, but that's because the studio ruined it. So what was Zack Snyder's vision? I'm really curious. I want to see it. I do believe that what he established, he was getting somewhere, and to just not being able to see the capstone of it with the Justice League, I think is a disservice to fans. Cinema is the only kind of product I could think of that is either a service or material in which the consumer can be screwed over and nothing happens with the customer experience. You didn't like the movie? Too bad, you can't get your money back. And that's not fair, because in everything else, it doesn't work that way. But in cinema, it does. So I do believe that the industry would be very different if these studios had to give refunds for awful movies because the customers didn't like it. Man, imagine the kind of world that would be. Now, you can... I basically recommend Watchmen the film, okay? And I recommend you watch the director's cut, not the theatrical version, because there's a lot of detail that's missing from it. So check out the director's cut, see it with open eyes, and you'll probably be impressed. If you enjoyed Deadpool Logan, you might be impressed with some of the character development that basically is absent from movies nowadays, because the Marvel Cinematic Universe is just cookie cutter movies, happy go fun day stuff. You know, it's just Disney played it safe with all that. The ending remains controversial for the film, but that doesn't detract that the movie itself has really held up well over time. I think it's definitely something that's worth experiencing because of what could have been, because HBO screwed it up. And we'll probably never get to see any better adaptation of Alan Moore's work than Zack Snyder's Watchmen. So that's my pitch for that and my recommendation. And that's it for this episode. So I'll see you on the next one.